Branding sets the perception among prospective buyers. Online presence of businesses require thoughtful branding that converts visitors into buyers. What are the main ingredients of creating a memorable and profitable brand identity for a business? Shane Raley is here sharing the workflow to create online branding for businesses. So let's welcome Shane on the show and get started.
Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sankanth. Let's get started.
Hi Shane, how are you?
I'm good, Davinder. Thank you for having me. It's really good to be here.
You are welcome. So before we get into the fancy world of branding, why don't you give a quick introduction about your online life?
Okay, great. So as you said, my name is Shane Raley. I live in Johannesburg, South Africa, where I run an agency called Lonely Viking. And so what my agency aims to do is to help business owners who are overworked to still grow their businesses, but actually spend less time working so they have more time to spend with their families. That's kind of the aim of our business when it comes to our clients. And the way we do that is through branding for one, and then we do website development, but we also do conversion rates optimization, a little bit of marketing, and we do automations. So we combine all of that. In some projects, we'll do all of that for someone. At other times, we'll just do, you know, one or two or three of those things. So that's basically what I do. In terms of being online, as you know, we met on Facebook, and we're in some of the same Facebook groups. I'm in your Facebook group. So I'm quite active there. And that's just kind of where I stay in touch with, you know, what's happening in the WordPress world, in the online world, in the marketing world. More recently, Lonely Viking has been getting into creating some productized services and some products. Yes. So we're doing some internal projects to do what we're trying to do for other business owners. We're trying to do for ourselves as well, you know. So we're trying to have productized services that can generate income and turnover when we aren't working, instead of trading time for money, which is the trap we can get caught in so easily. You know? So that's me in a nutshell and what I do.
Awesome. Now let's talk about online branding. Now, typically when a client comes and he says, like, I just need a logo for you to design to me and maybe a website, and they don't talk in terms of branding, and you need to explain to a client, average client, what the branding is all about. So how would you define branding to a person or convince that there's a process behind it? It's just not, you know, slapping some colors here and there and making the logo or web design.
Yes, exactly. I think the challenge is that most people's perception of branding is that it's visual. So they'll think of things like the logo, the typography, the colors, the fonts. And while all of those things are extremely important, our approach to branding is that it's far more holistic than that. And so a brand, it actually consists of so much more than just those visual aspects. And so I would try to explain to the client that branding is essentially all of their messaging, all of their external communication. But more than that, it's actually an internal thing that determines how those external factors will manifest. And so usually when we get an inquiry from a client, we will try to assess exactly what they're looking for and then get them to fill in a form on our website. Mm-hmm. And we do that for a few reasons. You know, the forms will already, we have like an ideal client. And when we send someone to fill in the form, if they're not willing to fill in the form, well, then basically they've already excluded themselves as an ideal client because we want someone who's going to follow our process. And so we send them to that form and then they'll fill in the form. It's got a whole bunch of questions. There's a branding one in particular, which I'll refer to. And so once that submission comes in, we'll get a notification and we'll do an assessment on the form, looking at what they think they want. And then we do something called a client scorecard where we assess the potential client and the project. And based on that, we will decide whether we want to move forward with that project or not. From that point, we will set up a discovery session with the client. So if that's a local client, we will do it. We will meet somewhere and we'll spend either half a day or a whole day. So like 4 hours to like maybe 6 or 7 hours, just going through the discovery process of finding out actually what do they really want versus what they think they want. And then, so we guide them through that process. We'll go over things like their goals, their values, their likes and their dislikes, and the processes that they have in their business, particularly sales and marketing processes, and how we can use branding to improve all of those. So that's basically the process that we take.
And in the form that you give to the clients or prospective clients to fill, what are the few questions related to branding that you ask in that?
Okay, so there are quite a few questions, but I'll just pick a few interesting ones if I can remember off the top of my head. So we'll ask them questions like, what are 3 words that you would like people to use when they describe your business to a friend? So we try to make it the language of it easy for them to answer the question rather than what are 3 words that describe your business, you know? So how would you like it to be described? Again, we'll have the antithesis of that question, which is to say, what are 3 words you would like people to never use when they speak about your business? And then we have other questions like, if your brand was a person, what kind of personality would that person have? And so we're asking them to think of their business and their brand in a different sense than maybe what they're used to. Because what we find is a lot of business owners are really good at what they do, and they've started a business because, let's say, for example, a law firm. A lawyer decided to start a law firm because they're a great lawyer, but they're not a great branding, design, and marketing person, you know. So often they will come and they have never thought of things in this kind of way before. So we try to ask questions in a way that will get them thinking that they can just answer more in like a conversational kind of way. And so that then moves into the discovery process where we try to manage the language as well, you know, like that.
Okay, now basically any business, you know, any agency building website will get 2 kinds of clients. One would be like, they won't have any idea of branding. They just have this notion, get the logo done, get the website done, and we are good to go. There are other type of people who already have like a lot of baggage with them. Like they've researched on their competitors. Their logo color is blue, so I will want a shade blue. They have a fancy slider on their homepage, so I definitely want a slider with more slides in it. Now, how much weight do you give to clients' pre-existing vision of brand ideas, of which obviously most of them gets inspired from the branding of their competitors?
So it's quite tough. When clients come with a lot of pre-existing ideas, it's going to be a bit more hard work to show them, if they're wrong, why they're wrong. But you've got to do it in a really... like you can't sit, I'm sure you know, you can't sit in front of a client and say, you're wrong.
Obviously.
You need to show them a better way, you know? And so again, that discovery process is massive because you've got to take that half a day or however long it is. And we've got a set like worksheet that we work through. Mm-hmm. And then, so as we're going through that, it takes a little bit of skill to say to the client, you know, what do you want in this instance? And then you've got to keep saying, why do you want that? Why do you want that? Until you eventually get to the point where you understand actually what they want to achieve, and then also just to manage the conversation. And then if they start insisting on things, explain to them why something else might be better. And so it's key for us to listen to the clients, but it's also something we communicate up front, is it's very important for them to listen to us. You've not hired us to push buttons for you. You've hired us to communicate your brand better, which is going to improve your sales, or it's going to improve your customer perception, or whatever the case is. And so we have to try to develop a relationship of trust between the client and the agency, which can be a challenge to do, but it's important to do that.
So have you dumped a few clients on this discovery / convincing phase?
I would say that there have been,
I'm right. You are lonely. I'm not.
Yeah. Well, there are times when we've done one of these strategy sessions. And so the way we will do it is we charge for it, but then we say, if the project goes ahead after this phase, we will take the cost of that session off of the total cost of the project. If they decide, or we decide, not to move ahead, then we provide a report for them that's come out of that strategy session, and then they have paid for that session. So, I mean, there've definitely been times where we've realized and they've realized this just isn't going to work. You know, and then just to try to manage that process in a way that's amicable is quite a challenge, but we've definitely been there.
Kind of curious, like what's the conversion rate from, you know, the discovery session, percentage of people who just get the discovery session done to they becoming your clients? Like, do you track even that metrics?
I don't track that actually, but I would say
majority of them do convert.
It's probably like one in 10 that we don't, that end up working with. I think because also we do the client scorecard thing that I mentioned before, which like is already, we've already eliminated people at that point. And so we're fairly confident the ones that we're going to meet with are already someone that we're going to want to work with, and we assume are going to want to work with us.
Okay, cool. So now you've done the discovery session, convincing part, with all the information has been collected from the client. Now it's time to connect the dots and begin the branding process. Like, how do you start this process? Like, do you create mood boards, design boards? What is your way to do it?
Okay, so it might be helpful if I explain sort of our take on branding a little bit more clearly before I answer this. So, for me, the three major components of what branding should achieve for a business is to differentiate that business from other businesses doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Because like, take web design agencies, for example, there's like 10 million of us, right? What is it that makes you different? And so if you're communicating that properly, when potential clients come, and they look at you, like you and agency B, they can see, I definitely want to work with that person because of their differentiation. So that's the first thing branding should achieve, is to communicate differentiation. Branding should then should be consistent. And so consistency is a huge thing, just visually in terms of typography, logos, and like placement of things, that's big as well. But even in terms of other kind of branding things, like the language of the brand, and that's why we'll always provide a guide, a PDF document that explains exactly how to use everything. And it's very comprehensive. And so anyone who's working in that brand, or you bring a freelancer in and they're working for you, they have to go through that document. Mm-hmm. And all communication that they create for you or your business or your agency has to be done according to that style guide. So that's the second thing. So it's differentiation, consistency, and memorability. So what can you do with your branding to make people remember you? And just to illustrate something that's not visual, take, for example, an example that I think everybody will know. When you turn on Netflix, it makes that Netflix sound, right? And even if you didn't see the screen and the next Netflix logo, if you hear that particular sound, you will know that it's Netflix, and that's part of their branding. So it's a branding device and it's an auditory device. But that's something that makes it memorable. So they're those things: differentiation, consistency, memorability. So now to answer your question, okay, the process. So we've done the discovery session, and now we'll go into what we call the research phase.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do all the research. We're going to research their competitors. We're going to research the market that they're in. We're going to research, we're going to get information from them, from like how well things have done in the past. What are their KPIs? So we can track that stuff going forward. A lot of this is marketing stuff as well as branding, but I find it's important to know when developing the brand. And so in that, we're doing that research process, and we're going to research colors and all of those things. And then we're going to start developing the brand guide. And some clients have a rebranding project or a brand upgrading project, which doesn't even require the logo to be changed at all.
Yeah.
You know, they want to find out, how can we make things look fresher, but we don't want to change our logo, or how can we communicate better? So part of branding that we do is the vocabulary of the brand and the way the brand speaks. And we'll even in the brand guide, we'll say that these are the kinds of words you should use, and this is how an email should sound. This is how you should sign off on an email and that. So we research all of that. We research the target audience. How would they respond to different things? And all of that stuff gets like put into determining how the brand operates in terms of how it sounds and looks and all of that. Yeah.
Cool. So now you've done the groundwork and it's time to build the building itself. So in real asset creation process, like what things you create, like if it's like completely branding from scratch, we are talking about a new business, new branding. So what are the first few things you create, like after brand board, mood board, like is it the logo, the social assets, website layout? What is your process from A to B?
Yeah, so we would definitely create the logo first, usually.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people would say the logo, they would call the logo the hero of the brand. And so while there are brands that exist that don't even have logos, like if you look at certain YouTube personalities, they would have 10 million followers and it's actually a successful business and it's definitely a brand, but they don't have a logo. So a logo is not essential to a business, but for the majority of businesses, I think it's an essential. And so that's something we'll work really hard on. Mm-hmm. And then we will figure out, we'll get to the point where the client is happy with that logo. And a lot of that will determine, especially the colors and stuff, will determine how all of the other assets look going out from that. So generally our process is to start with the logo. And then once we've got the logo done, we will move into creating those other assets and incorporating them into the style guide. I'm putting them in a natural hierarchical flow in that guide and that kind of thing.
Okay, so logo is the first thing. Which is the last thing in the process?
The last thing, I think, I don't know that we do it, that I do it the same every time. Mm-hmm. It's just really finishing off that style guide and making sure that it's cohesive, that it's communicating well. We will usually even... in the style guide, or at least in the delivery document to the client themselves, maybe not in a client-facing or in a public-facing style guide, but to the client, we will give motivations for why we made certain decisions. We will explain, we'll give an explanation of the thinking behind the logo and what we expected to communicate. So that stuff's being created as we go. But I think the very last bit is polishing off that, polishing off the guide and the delivery so that they understand exactly why everything was done as well, so that they can communicate that when they need to.
Cool. So I'm going to ask you a very subjective question here. So how do you connect this branding process with clients' business goals? Or is there even a thought given to this during the branding process?
Sorry, you broke up just a little bit there and I didn't catch your whole sentence.
How do you connect the branding process with clients' business goals? Like, is this even a thought while doing the branding process, or has any client even said you, like, hey, I want to achieve this many eyeballs in, you know, in probably
okay.
How would this branding help me do that? Or do you want to would you create a brand that will help me achieve that? Like, do you connect these branding, exercise with the business goals of a business or of, you know, what client brings on the table?
Not so much for like a specific outcome in terms of like something that would be more like a marketing goal. Mm-hmm. But what we do is in the discovery process. So my take on branding is that branding is holistic and it's an inside out process. And so what I mean by inside out process is that you, when you're developing a brand, you first have to understand what your goals and values and likes and dislikes are. So if you think of a brand like a person, mm-hmm. like you or I, we would have a set of values, like a worldview, something that determines how we live, you know? And so we try to figure out, what is that for the brand? And then a lot of the branding comes out of that. So in terms of goals, these would be more like long-term overarching goals. So you could ask the question like this: how do you want your business to change the world? Now that's a very big question, and maybe most people's businesses are not going to change the world.
By making more money for myself.
yeah, exactly. And so that's to get thinking about framing it in a different way. What is the goal of this business outside of making a profit? Mm-hmm. Like, profit should be a byproduct of business, not the goal of business. Because if making a profit is your goal, you're going to pay your workers too little. You're going to look for the cheapest suppliers, you know, possibly. And so I think when you see profit as a byproduct rather than a goal, and then seeing the goal as like, so like I said to you in the beginning, our goal at Lonely Viking is to help overworked business owners grow their business and get their time back. That's like, we feel like we'd be changing the world a little bit if we can help some clients to do that and they can spend time with their family that they wouldn't have. We've changed the family, you know? And so this is like a way to think of it in a big picture way. And so in terms of those kinds of goals, that definitely is incorporated into the branding and how the brand looks and sounds and the vocabulary and all of that. In terms of like saying, we want our website to have 50,000 visitors a month in the next 6 months. We would take that on rather as a marketing project than a branding project. I think in terms of branding on a website, the general like communication and look and feel is what's going to keep people there or keep them coming back. And so we try to approach it like that.
Or annoy them. Depends.
Yes. With pop-ups.
Or a video with autoplay audio. That's the best.
Yes.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about a new business and new branding. Let's talk about an existing business. Now, how does one evaluate existing brand status and decide on tweaking on creating a new brand identity? Like, how do you evaluate like, okay, the existing brand is not working and we need to tweak or maybe just scrap it up and make a new one or just make a new version of an existing brand?
Yeah. Okay. So I reckon this again would be part of the discovery process. Mm-hmm. So we'd have to find out from the client what do you feel is not working and why do you feel it's not working?
I guess a lot of people will get the answer, hey, my sales are dropping.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why you've got to keep digging and digging. A lot of the time, those kinds of projects will just be that you need to really just tweak the messaging. And in a situation like that, we would spend, I think, extra time going over an ideal client profile or what some people would call a customer avatar. And in understanding better who the brand wants to speak to and who they want to communicate with, we will be able to create that communication better. And one of the challenges is marrying what they want to say and who they want to say it to, but also that to make it authentically communicating the values of the brand. And so we try to get those two things together. But like I said, in a project like that, it would be more about understanding what's not working, figuring out why, and then tweaking that and changing it to help them make it work.
And branding for websites that are under your care plan or who or the businesses who are regularly in touch with you for your services, like after how many quarters or years do you suggest that there needs to be a brand refresh or, you know, tweaking down the line?
Okay, this is a challenge. So we get clients who come to us for websites, mm-hmm. and sometimes they'll have a terrible logo, or they just have no concept of branding whatsoever. And so we do try to communicate to them that we're happy to build a website for you, but it would be really beneficial for you to go through a branding project. Often they're not keen because they think we're just trying to upsell them and make more money out of them, which I guess we are, but we only communicate that when we really think that it would be valuable. And so that's one of the challenges. And one of my, like one of the things that really hurts me, if I can say it like that, is to build a really nice website with a terrible logo. It just doesn't feel good. And so we try to communicate that. In terms of brands that, companies that we've done a full branding project for, when we deliver, we explain to them that a brand is like a, try to think of it like a person. It's a living thing. And so as you go, you're going to have certain things that you realize, oh, we've got to tweak and change that. We've got to maybe change some of our ideal clients. We've got to change some of our communication. Maybe the language that we've been using isn't working. And so it's just assessing that on an ongoing basis. And then we'll just do follow-up calls with them every now and then, ask them how it's going, ask them what they think. But I really do think if branding is done very well, it can last for ages. You know, it can really, it doesn't have to be updated like 6 months or a year or whatever. I think maybe what you're asking though more is in terms of the look and feel of the website itself. Yep. And so if someone's website is starting to look old or not keeping up with the times, then I think it's definitely time to relook at that. But I don't think that would so much be changing their branding altogether. It might just be a website refresh. I'm not sure. It's like a case-by-case basis, I guess.
Cool. So let's talk about results now. We all want results. So does clients, right? So I'm paying you money. Where is the result? So just kind of curious, like, is there an objective way to measure results from fresh branding or like, is it all subjective?
To a large degree, it is subjective. I'd have to say that. I think one way that it can be measured is in
the traffic feedback. Went up. Yeah, the traffic went up. Like, you can track via Google Analytics a little bit, but then there could be other factors that made the traffic jump.
Yeah, so I don't know so much whether, like, you can get a lot of traffic by doing paid ads or good SEO and still have terrible branding. So I don't know that branding would necessarily bring traffic. What I would say is a great indicator of whether your branding is working is customer feedback. Mm-hmm. And so we try to help our clients to actually get more customer feedback. So branding, as I understand it, it affects every part of your business. So when you deliver a service or when you deliver a product, your branding determines how well you do that. It determines how well you, so your brand values determine how well you provide that service, what your follow-up service is like and all of that. And so if all of that has been put into place, you'll start to see the results of that in the client feedback. So when they refer other people, or when they give a review on Google or Facebook, or if you send them follow-ups asking for testimonials, those are the kinds of things that that I think will be the kind of indicators that the branding has made an impact on the business. In terms of like actual analytics and that kind of thing, I'm not too sure, to be honest.
Okay, cool. Now, you've created a brand identity for client and client is happy. So it's all rosy. You got paid. Client got the results. Let's flip the scenario. Client is not happy with the branding flow and wants immediate rollback. How do you handle these kind of situations? Like, or are you been too lucky that you never faced this kind of a situation?
So it's a scenario that we haven't found ourselves in very often. Uh-huh. I think our communication along the way during a project is good. So we get constant feedback. So that's really good. We make sure the logo, like I said to you, we'd usually start with the logo. We make sure that they're really, really happy with that. Or that we've explained to them why they should be happy with that and they've agreed. And then from there, once we've done that, we will continue with the rest of the project, communicating along the way. We do have a contract in place. And so once we get to the end of the project, if they're unhappy, we do sort of, we keep a whole bunch of the money because we've done the work, but they can do like a, can't remember what we call it in the contract, but it's like a, man, I can't think of it, but let's say we call it like a trashing fee, okay, which is a terrible way to call it, but they could basically pay a fee to like cancel the project. They don't get to use any of the assets or use any of the work. It still belongs to us. It's in our possession until the final payment has been made and they've been signed off, then we hand over all the assets to them. They can end the project and say, we're not happy. We keep a percentage of the fees because we've done the work, and then they don't get all of that stuff because obviously everyone would be getting it cheaper then by canceling, you know? and so, but I've never had to do that. So it's in the contract, but we've never gotten to that point, thankfully. So
you're a lucky Viking. Okay. Now, in, you know, current times where websites get created in few hours, few days, few weeks, like how what is your timeline for, you know, overall branding, starting from logo to website design and social media for a specific project? Like how long does it stretch, for few weeks or few months? Like what is the average spread of your project?
Okay, so this would really depend a lot on the scale of the particular project. So if someone just wants a logo, they don't want a style guide or anything, we don't like doing those projects, and we often don't. But a logo, we would probably spend maybe like 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. It seems quite long when you're thinking like you've mentioned in terms of websites in a day, which was one of your episodes that I just listened to yesterday, which was great, by the way.
It works.
It was excellent.
You know, everything works on the internet. It's just you need to make it work.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's great. Works. But
spamming works. There are so many successful spammers.
Yeah. I mean, and some people can go to Wix Logo Creator. Yeah, Wix has a logo creator, and they can
charge $2,000 for that logo.
Yeah. And I mean, like someone can go and get a logo there in 5 minutes, but it doesn't have all the research behind it. It doesn't have all of the years of expertise behind it and stuff like that. So that would take about 3 weeks. If we're doing an entire branding project where we've got to do discovery phase, research phase, development phase, and delivery, we're probably looking at about 8 weeks, okay. Probably about 8 weeks in that process. Yeah.
Cool.
So, unless the client really wants to get it done super fast, they can pay us extra and we'll work late at night.
Money makes everyone fast, so that's not surprising. Okay. And do you keep these clients on maintenance care as well? Or is it like we are done with the branding and you can go your way?
For a branding project, we don't have a maintenance plan. We will sometimes get them onto a plan where we create their graphics for them. Uh-huh. So we will make all of their social media graphics, and we don't do social media management because that's terrible and I would never want to do that. I can't even manage my own social media very well, so never mind for someone else's business. But so we will do graphic design for them on a retainer. Most of our retainer clients, if you use the word retainer, are for website care. So those would be care plan clients. But
okay, yeah. Cool. Let's switch our gears and talk about your toolbox. So which are your current 5 favorite tools that power your online business?
Okay, so those would be G Suite, which we use for our entire business. We use the email, the docs, all of that stuff, the Drive. MailerLite, which we use for our email automations. Zapier, which we use so much. I think if Zapier like shut down all of our processes, which shut down.
No,
with
they won't. They make a lot of money.
Yeah. I know they won't, but if they did, we use Slack for communication, which works really well. The integrations in particular are awesome. And then we use Plutio for project management and Adobe. Wait, that's 6. The Adobe apps, which I reluctantly use, but they're an essential part of our business at the moment.
So. Send hefty invoices every month, so you know, kind of.
Yeah, it costs a lot, man.
Kind of painful there. Curious, like even I have Plutio lifetime deal. So you have Plutio lifetime deal, and you've everything in there. Like I've used it a few times, to be honest. Like it's very neat, but I don't know if it works or not because I've not used in real sense in client management.
Yeah.
So I guess it works because you're using it for your clients, right?
Works for us, yeah. We actually just been developing a WordPress plugin integration for it, so which we'll be releasing in about a week.
Awesome. And you mentioned Zapier. Like so many
brands. I don't know how to say it. Yeah. I thought because they're called Zaps that it would be called Zapier, but
curious what kind of automations do you do via Zapier?
Oh man, many things. Like,
is it like
when we get a payment in, okay.
Is it like email communication? Sorry. Like someone clicks on this links and he gets this, email, automated email, etc., like that.
Yeah, like that. Or we use Xero for our accounting, so we can automate things like creating invoices. So if a client accepted a proposal, automatically create and send an invoice. Those kinds of things. Man, we have so much in there now, I can't even think of anything.
Okay, let's move on to the next question, which is a recommended web hosting service.
Okay, so at the moment we use RunCloud as the user interface.
That's kind of technical.
For our DigitalOcean servers. So my business partner is really good with that stuff. So he takes care of that, which is awesome. We use RunCloud with DigitalOcean. We did have a whole bunch of sites on Cloudways before, and that was very good as well.
So why move from Cloudways to RunCloud? Like, why did you run?
So on Cloudways, the costs started to add up. So essentially, on Cloudways, let's take for example a DigitalOcean server. Mm-hmm. Will be $10 a month for the base one.
Okay.
Where that same server, if you buy it from DigitalOcean yourself, is $5 a month.
Okay.
So, and then RunCloud costs about $9 a month. So, but you can have unlimited amounts of servers linked to that.
Yeah, that's
an idea. And so we link that. Yeah. So every DigitalOcean server that we start, that we add, we're saving $5 a month, essentially.
So actually, you're saving almost 50%, right?
Exactly. Yes. So that's why we moved. And RunCloud also has an API that we use to do a bunch of like automations. When we spin up WordPress, we can inject, for lack of a better word, we can inject all our plugins into that, and we can spin up a ready built WordPress like framework before we start adding the design and stuff to it.
Okay.
So the API is another reason. It's very cool.
Okay. So which is a recommended page builder? Like, do you build websites using Page Builder, or is it like all custom coded for your clients?
No, we use Elementor for the most part. If there's like a big project, or like we'll occasionally do like a web app, like a custom development, we'll use other things that don't use page builders. But for the most part, we will use Elementor. I've used Beaver Builder quite a lot. As a designer, I like Elementor more. There's more I can do with it.
Elementor has more fancy goodies.
Yeah. Beaver Builder is great as well, though. I've got Oxygen, but I still haven't had the time to sit down and try it out.
You need a little patience to use Oxygen. It's not that it's not that easy as Elementor, because it's more of a developer tool, to be honest.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
People who've been spoiled with drag and drop in the front end via Beaver Builder and Elementor would not find it easy with Oxygen. But then Oxygen is kind of a different tool, and it's powerful in its own league. But then, you know, when you are trying to move, it's kind of a different, even though it's like a page builder, but it's not exactly like a, you know, type of Elementor builder. So obviously when you move to a different kind of tool, you will, but it gets good reviews, and people who use it, they use it. But then Elementor is the king. Like, it is getting all the eyeballs.
It is at the moment. Yeah.
They've been throwing all kinds of new features every week and making the elephant bigger. So
yeah, I hope it doesn't get too bloated. I think that's the kind of fear that everyone has. But
let's see, Beaver Builder, fortunately, it's still a small animal, which is fine.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, I think you already answered the next question, which is your recommended email marketing service. I guess you're a MailerLite fan, and you shove in Zapier there to do all the fanciness and save your time.
Yeah.
Cool. So
that's what we do.
Cool. So last question, any upcoming tool or service that has caught your attention or eye recently?
I bought Crisp recently from AppSumo, and I'm using it right now. And I quite like that one, actually. It's good. I have kids at home, so if I'm doing these at home, if I'm doing like a client call or a podcast or something at home, they'll often be like banging and screaming and stuff in the background. And so it actually works really well to cut out those sounds, which is cool. And then, I don't know, at the moment I'm looking at LoginPress and trying to decide. I've heard it's a little bit bloated, like it's a whole lot of stuff.
But then if you're using Elementor, why would you actually need it?
You don't actually need it.
You can create a login page via, you know, I actually don't feel the... Obviously, this LoginPress is good for people who are not going to use a page builder, and, you know, they have a membership website, and the membership plugin doesn't give you the... Normally, a membership plugin give you a shortcode, but they don't have the, you know, the technical know-how to use that shortcode in designing the login page. But I guess it would be kind of an overkill to use with Elementor, because you can do the same thing with Elementor, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, the tools that you're mentioning, I sense that you are an AppSumo fan here.
I'm a recovering addict.
I seriously doubt the recovery part here.
No, I recently, well, not recently, about a year ago, took on a business partner. And so I had to change my lifetime deal spending habits, because it was actually a little bit out of hand, if I'm honest. I have like that shiny object syndrome, you know? And so I see a deal come and I'll think, man, I can use that in that way in the future. And then, but it's all on the shelf. There are a few that I use that have been really, really valuable and worthwhile. Mm-hmm. But I must say, I haven't bought a lifetime deal maybe in the last 6 months. So I am recovering.
Awesome. Even same here. No, I don't remember which last AppSumo stuff I bought. To be honest, I actually don't remember. I think it was deposit photo. I actually added more credits to my deposit photo last time because that deal is like, you know, golden. I don't know if you have that deal, deposit photos.
I do. I think I still have 500 credits.
Well, that will last you for at least a year, I guess. Yeah, but it's really a good deal, you know, because I personally avoid using free photos on client websites and all that just to be, you know, careful. I can use it on my own site, doesn't matter much, but if you're doing it for client sites and he's paying you, then it's good to use, you know, deposit photo stuff at least because you have the licensing, you know, track and you can show the evidence if something comes up. That's
exactly. We started using the Envato Elements as well. I think
they have monthly subscription somewhere around $19.
It's a monthly.
Somewhere around that.
Yeah.
They keep throwing a discount. I saw it for $8.5 someday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They
That's keep good. I paid for a year up front and I paid $16.50, I think, per month.
I saw it somewhere like 2 weeks back that they were giving like a 40% discount for new accounts. Probably.
Oh, wow.
Probably now you should not cancel it.
But that's quite cool because you create projects in there and then you download the assets and they are the license is linked to that project. And so you've always got that as a reference for where you licensed it. Yeah, which is cool.
Awesome. So before we wrap this episode, why don't you share where can people find you and what you can help people with?
Okay, so I've got a small Facebook group. It's called The Lonely Viking. Let me just go and have a look quickly. It's got a really long, silly name, but...
branding.
It's called The Lonely Viking Group for Web and Design Professionals. I'm thinking about changing the name. So you can find me there on Facebook, and I'm very active there in Facebook in general. Where else... you can check out our website. I'm on LinkedIn. I should be using it more. I'm not using it as much as I should. Other than that, I'm not really online much other than Facebook. And I scroll through Instagram, but I don't post too much.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. And it was amazing talking to you. Have a good day.
Cool. Cheers.
You can join the free web creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.